welcome to episode 60. This is a bonus episode that we're bringing you of Creaky Chair Film Podcasts. On this bonus episode, Bill and Sam are going to be reporting back from their time at Dead Northern Film Festival. This is a horror film festival which is held every year up in the lovely city of York, which is near where we're all from. So a very nice little local connection. So Dead Northern put on other film events throughout the year. You can visit their website to check out the listings. And I'm just going to pause because I don't know what their website is. I'm guessing. And it would make sense.
Just go Google Dead Northern. I'm sure you'll find it.
Dead Northern, all one word, .co.uk. So yes, check out what events they have coming up. They seem to do quite, you know, semi-regular film events throughout the year.
Also, before we dive in, they are lovely. So shout out to Dead Northern. They are a real delight.
Excellent. Yeah, make sure you try and attend the Dead Northern Film Festival next year. So this is predominantly horror. I was looking through their program. So they have a kind of real mixture. Bill and Sam only, this is a 3-day festival. Bill and Sam, you both managed to go on the Saturday. But they have kind of a mixture, don't they, of world premieres and sort of stuff that's kind of quite new, but maybe not premiere new. And also they showed some old favourites. So they showed Dog Soldiers from 2002. And what was the other one? 28 Days Later, of course. Everyone loves 28 Days Later. So yeah, a nice mixed programme, lots of shorts and other stuff. And also I saw on the Sunday, they have something that they claim is a unique feature of a horror film festival, a Sunday seance, which you'll be glad that you were not there for.
Well, we actually got invited to that. So at the after show party on the Saturday, Gareth, one of the people who organises the festival, actually invited us back to join the seance. And I was really glad that we were actually busy because I think that would have genuinely really frightened me.
He specifically said that Bill and I had what he referred to as a dark energy that might ruin the seance. Right. So I think he was
he invited us and was like, actually.
Yeah, I think next year, Mitch, you should go to the seance by yourself. So me and Sam, because me and Sam will go and see all the films, have fun. Great, we had a great time. We'll do all the fun stuff, and I think you should attend the seance and report back from that.
And if you can do it dressed entirely in like a cowl, like how they're dressed in, you know, like Kill List, that'd be great.
Yeah. All right. Okay. So we're going to go through what films you saw and get your kind of brief thoughts. Because I was unable to attend, very sadly, I'm going to try and judge whether I think, on the basis of the synopsis that I'll read out, whether I think this is trash or triumph. And we'll see what strike rate I get.
Are we going to go for that really intense binary where it can only be trash or triumph?
I'll leave that up to you, but we'll try and, we'll have to obviously judge based on what you think, what you say, and we'll just kind of put them in that binary. So let's start with the first film. This is a Norwegian film called Searching for Veselomi, from director Leo X. Robertson and Tom Montgomery. This is billed as a comedy horror mockumentary. This was its world premiere, very exciting. And the synopsis of Searching for Veselomi is that an inept and narcissistic reporter attempts to capitalize on a local cold case to launch his career. He soon finds himself alienating a community of colourful and bizarre characters and failing to find any clues, even when they're handed to him. So, okay, who's going to start on Searching for Veselomi?
Come on. Make your assessment, Michael.
I reckon Norwegian, I mean, they're quite, you know, good on the noir, aren't they? I'm going to call this as a triumph.
Triumph. I'll go first for this one, Bill. I'm really glad that you pronounced the name because despite the fact they said it over and over and over and over again, I still wasn't 100% sure how you pronounce it. Veselomi, never was quite sure. So Searching for Veselomi was a really... I was excited for this one. I thought it was a really good idea and it had really good potential. I think the idea of... like a true crime mockumentary that kind of turns into a sort of like horror type film is a really interesting idea. it also, you know, it's a really good potential for kind of like a found footagey kind of thing as well. Totally makes sense. People would keep filming when things were happening as well. And there's some really great bits in it. The main narcissistic reporter, inept and narcissistic reporter, is really funny. He's got some really fantastic moments. There's some really good moments of what felt like kind of improvisation of him just kind of dicking around and just seeing what happened that were very funny. And a lot of the kind of colourful characters that he meets along the way are equally kind of feel like they're having fun just hanging out and trying things out and seeing what works. As a result, that does kind of not really at certain points propel the story along too well. There's obviously the kind of true crime element of it. And one of the things that I couldn't quite get my head on is like the true crime story never really develops very well. I didn't quite know what it was that I was supposed to be kind of, you know, like it, you kind of, me and Bill talked about this afterwards, you kind of need those moments of, you're kind of like piecing the story together as it goes along. And I never really felt like I had that experience. I think it was an enjoyable movie for sure. I enjoyed watching it. It was a really good one to kind of like kick off with. And it's always good to have a laugh, isn't it? And you can tell that obviously it was made with like love and attention. I feel like it just needs a little bit of tightening. It needs a little bit of like another couple of looks over the script, another few kind of like drafts done potentially. There's really good ingredients there. I just think the kind of final meal, to continue my metaphor, wasn't quite what it could have been.
I pretty much agree. Yes, it's like, for me, there was some proper laugh out loud moments, and those moments were just fantastic. And the main actor, who's played by Tom Montgomery, also directed it. He was brilliant, and I'd love to see what he does next, because I'd like to see more stuff. But I just wish they'd edited it down. Like, some set pieces and jokes were stretched out far too thinly, and they just lost all meaning or value for it. And it just, if it had been edited and like kind of, you know, looked over a bit, maybe more dispassionately, you could have chopped out huge swathes, and I think you would have had something actually truly special. But that I mean, like, some characters needed to be in one scene only. You didn't need to return to them. I think there was quite a lot of that, which you know, is one of those things you get with low budget films. You do tend to get a bit close to it, maybe. But I really liked how it was pastiching, you know, the Scandinavian crime doc drama sort of thing, you know, that's a really, really nice craze that undercutting. But I think, yeah, if you could have cut it down, it could have been something truly special. But I have to say, yeah, the good points was there were some really, really funny moments that I don't want to spoil, but maybe through improvisation, maybe through just the way they were interacting. But yeah, the Tom Montgomery's character was just fantastic, and I'd like to see what he does next.
It was also really nice because we didn't realise, but he was sitting in front of us in the cinema. And like Bill said, there was a lot of laugh out loud moments, and we were genuinely enjoying it. And it was really nice to realise that obviously he was in front of us, and we weren't in a situation where, because we didn't know. And if we'd hated it and been sitting there going, "This is awful, I hate it," he would have literally heard.
Yeah.
That was nice that, you know, genuine lols.
Excellent. Instead, he just heard you guffawing and sucking on wine gums.
That's it, yeah.
Right. Okay, well...
Which is what you want in a horror film,
I mean, that sounds like it's annoyingly not going to fall into the binary that we set ourselves, so we'll call that a borderline triumph.
Do you know what? If I had to... If we had to discuss it in either those terms of trash or triumph, if we had to live in that binary, I would push it towards triumph.
All right.
Yeah. If it's one or the other, life.
If
or
we're
death,
forcing ourselves to exist, if we're forcing ourselves to either go 0 or 10, I'll go.
This is your simplistic worldview, Michael. Yeah. We live in a world of shades of grey, and I think you need to grow up and realise that.
Well,
I live in a 10-point scale system, not a 2-point scale.
Right. Well, anyway, it looks like I'm one up then on the 1 out of 4.
1-0.
Let's move on then.
Go.
So
can you keep the run going?
The next film was a British film called with the intriguing title of Calling Nurse Meow. This is also its world premiere. How exciting! A comedy, horror comedy anthology. Oh, everyone loves a horror anthology, don't they? So this is described as Nurse Meow is a wacky, fun, scary, morbid, and sexy anthology film starring Kitty Kiss as Nurse Meow. 11 great short films. And the running time is only 1 hour 25. Blimey. 11 great short films by 6 directors, which include Joe Cash, Jason Impey, Dan Urban, John Henry, Kitty Kiss, and Kaelin Jordan-Senn. I think they may have just listed all the directors there. This Meowthology will take you on a journey featuring medieval knights, 70s bank robbers, Nazi experiments, kidnappers, animated dreams, sexy Bigfoot, and of course, Dr. Dilf, plus much more. Well, I mean, with a description like that, that can't possibly have been anything other than a triumph.
Bill, I'll let you take the reins on this one.
Yeah, you know how we were talking about Shades of Grey? It was not my kind of thing. A grindhouse sort of exploitation-y thing. It looked like they had a hell of a lot of fun making it.
You have to be honest as well. You did miss a good 20 minutes of it because you went to the loo. So.
I did.
A 20 minutes of an hour and 25 film.
Yes, I did.
What on earth were you doing?
Well, I'd say watch the film. But, you know, a lot of people talk about making a film and, oh, I'd do this if they'd made a film. And these people, they've made it. And, you know, and there was some good bits. There were some bits I enjoyed. You know, there was a lot of craft that gone into it. And a lot of people never do make a film. And these guys did. And it was great. It came from, I think originally it was done for like sort of charity. And that's great. And yeah, more power to them. It got a bit samey for me. I think a lot of the shorts were quite samey. And it sort of lost a little bit of, I don't know, shock value quite early on. I would say the gore effects were pretty cool. I really liked them. And I liked how, you know, it's going for this exploitation thing. There were some shots that were excessive, and I always find that quite funny when you're watching like a low budget horror film, you know, and it's sort of this grindhouse thing. I love it if you do linger on a shot of someone slowly pulling intestines out for way longer than you need to. Great, that's great. I'm all for that. So I think a lot of people get some enjoyment from it. And there were certain shorts that I enjoyed more than others. And yeah, there was some bits I was guffawing at, and have a few beers. I tell you what, I had a good time watching it. I would say this though, and I never thought in my life I'd ever say this sentence, but there was too much tits, like way too many boobs.
Honestly, we got
desensitized. It was like just seeing someone's nose or something. It was like, oh, there's more boobs. Wow. I think boobs are a great power and they have to be used responsibly. And I got bored of boobs.
Why were they out so much?
That's a good question, Mike. That is a good question.
Oh.
I don't know. People just had their boobs out. And I'm not a prude. I wasn't like clutching my pearls. It was just.
That's why Bill left for 20 minutes. He just had to go like, disgusting, disgusting.
Yeah, I was Mary Whitehouse. I went and stood outside the cinema with a placard.
You went and complained to the. Bill went to the Minster actually in York and just did a couple of rosaries.
I did. I couldn't, you'd have to ask the filmmakers why there was so many boobs, Mitch. I couldn't answer. Right.
Sam, what did you think?
The specific screening was at the start dogged by technical difficulties. There was issues with the sound, there was issues with everything that they like, especially for like a world premiere of your film, must have been pretty galling. But the cast seemed like they kind of took it all in their stride, and eventually it kind of created quite a nice atmosphere because I think everyone got a little bit like involved and a bit rowdy. There was a lot of like, have you tried turning it on and off again? Oh, bloody hell, they're shiting there, the projectionist, blah blah blah. So that was kind of fun. That created this nice kind of, it reminded me of what you read about in like old theatre productions where people would be like yelling at the actors and hurling eggs and stuff. So that was a fun kind of atmosphere to be watching the film in. I think it suffers from the same thing that a lot of anthology films suffer from, in that because there's different shorts, it's tonally all over the place. And there were certain shorts that I was like, that were completely at odds with what had come before it, which meant that it took you a while to kind of like get into what this new thing was trying to get you on board with, if that makes sense. There was a lot of... how do I put this? There's a lot of ideas. In the same way that with Searching for Veslamoy, there was a lot of stuff where it needed kind of like editing and it needed to be a bit less precious about certain ideas. I think this suffers from the same thing of, and again, like I'm just a simple podcasting man and you don't have to listen to my opinion at all. But with these, it really made me think about the idea that like you kind of need to, when making a film like this, even like a low budget horror movie, you kind of need to ask yourself, like, are you making this for you and like for a specific set of people? Because that's fine. And if that's what you're doing, then that's completely fine. And like this film serves that purpose entirely. They look like they had a fucking blast making it. It's really fun watching it, like having some beers. It's obviously made for a really specific group of people. And that's great. Like we said before, they made a film. That's more than I've done. Good for them. But if they want this to kind of like potentially go a little bit more, and if they want, because there's some really good stuff, like Bill mentioned, like the gore effects. And there was a couple of shorts where you could see really good potential there. It just feels like those ideas, if you kind of want to make it more universal and have kind of wider appeal, it needs to be a little bit less precious about some of the ideas that are obviously kind of funny to you and your mates kind of thing. It was a fun thing to watch at like a horror film festival, and they seem to have a great time making it, and that's really good. Good for them. And there's some really good bits and pieces in there, and some really good stuff that I think could be developed a little bit further. I think there's a lot of little shorts in the anthology that could have just been developed into its own little standalone short with a little bit more care and attention. So yeah, I mean, good for them. I'm really.
It was also, you know, the audience responded well to it, and it's like, it's one of those things you go to a horror film festival to go see, because it's not necessarily something you'd even stumble across by accident. So it was nice. And, you know, and like, yeah, I think you even get the sort of enjoyment for, oh, that was so bad, it was good at times in it. I don't regret watching it. I don't regret, you know, spending my time watching it. So, yeah.
Also,
not for me, but yeah.
Also, before the film started, because obviously there was technical difficulties, they were doing a kind of like talk about the film before they started the film. They themselves did apologize on several occasions about, sorry for what you're about to see. So it feels like they're kind of aware that what they've made isn't like, it's not Citizen Kane.
Right,
you know?
Fine. Well, I think it feels like we can put that film in the trash pile. So that is one out of two for me in terms of my strike rate. Let's move on to the third film. This is another British film called The Stranger. Another world premiere. Wow, three world premieres. Directors Mike Clark and Paul Gerrard. This is a horror drama. Following the death of her husband, the grieving proprietor of a small hotel finds her life turned further upside down after the arrival of a mysterious guest who won't leave. That's not giving me much to go on, so I'm going to judge it on the poster, which looks very Goosebumps-ish. And I'm going to say this probably is of the trash variety, but am I wrong? There you go.
Interesting. The Stranger, I think, not to discredit the films that came before it, but they did mark a bit of a kind of like shift from what we'd seen in the morning, well, the start to the afternoon. This obviously had a little bit more budget behind it, a little bit more kind of... Like the I can't think of the right technical term, but the screen was bigger, widescreen. Sorry, I've never been to the cinema before. I didn't.
Technical confidence.
Yes, it felt like there was a little bit more kind of like stuff behind it. And as a film, generally, like there was some really effective stuff in it. There's a lot of really cool, very similar to kind of. Smile and It Follows. There was a lot of fun kind of like creepy presences in the distance kind of shots that were really effective, and it did give me, I think this was the main film that we watched that I actually felt a little bit creeped out by at points. A lot of the other ones were either like silly and gory, which is its own thing and is really good fun, but this one was the one that I actually felt a bit like, oh, that was super creepy, that was super like, oh, gave me a bit of a shiver, which was really cool. The drama element of it was really well acted. I think everyone did like a really cracking job. It's quite a small enclosed cast. And most of the film is set in like a B&B that the mother and daughter start taking over. So it's a really kind of like almost like a bottle episode kind of film. It's all set in this one little place, and there's a lot of tense exchanges of dialogue and so forth. I think there it's not without its flaws as a film. I think there was certain stuff that didn't quite make sense entirely or wasn't as well explained as I thought it could have been. Not to kind of give too much away, but there were some actions of one of the characters that when he first arrived on the scene, as it were, I didn't quite understand. I don't think it was fully kind of explained why he was sort of doing what he was doing, which was an odd thing to kind of not come to terms with, but an odd thing to kind of like square away. It just kind of, it sat in your head and I kind of kept thinking about it. But generally speaking, as a film, I think it's got, it's well worth, it's worth your time. They obviously have a lot of good ideas and a lot of kind of like understanding of like classic horror. They felt like they are, you know, I mean, everyone was, I think you can't go to a horror film festival without being a fan of the genre, but it felt like the directors, whose names have escaped me, Mike Clark and Paul Gerard, it really feels like they have like a love of the genre and a love of like Cronenberg-y horror, body horror kind of stuff, but then also like sinister kind of like haunted house kind of movies. It felt like a really, an interesting kind of like love letter to the genre, but also with their own kind of stamp on it. I think it's a solid feature that needs a little bit of work and isn't quite fully formed and isn't quite there entirely. But broadly speaking, I think it's a really solid movie and I'm keen to see what these guys do next. The one of the main actor who plays the stranger, Damien Ashley, had a really fun like Paddy Considine energy in Dead Man's Shoes to him, which was great. So yeah, I think, again, if we're using the the intense binary of 0 to 10, one where one's trash and one's triumph, I'd put this in the triumph side of things. It's not without its flaws. It definitely didn't work as much as it, everything, every element of it didn't work as well as it could have done, but broadly speaking, a creepy little film.
Bill?
Yeah, I loved this one. I really enjoyed it. I genuinely put it in the triumph bit. Nice, simple premise. Kept me guessing for a long while. You know, clear structure going through. And as Sam mentioned, Damien Ashley's character, you really didn't know where it was going with that. And he gave such an intense performance. Dangerous. Like, it went against slight, you know, archetypes of characters in these sort of films. I didn't know where he was coming from, and he was brilliant in it, really, really brilliant. I think certain character tropes were turned on the head. The monster was pretty cool, simple design, really effective. And it did the thing which I think is really difficult to do, where it explained just enough of the mythology behind it, but not too much, you know, not like, I'm sure Michael would be very mad because, you know, in Nope, they don't explain that cloud. But in this, you've just got just enough. So it leaves you wanting more without it just being like this Wikipedia page, basically, of, oh, and the monsters. So that was cool. The really creepy old woman as well that stayed with me quite a long time afterwards. And yeah, just a really effectively done horror film in that, you know, keeping it to one location, using that location really quite effectively, you know, the B&B in the middle of nowhere. It was just classic. And yeah, I think you were looking for the word production value, Sam, earlier. That's what I could see there.
It's been a long morning.
It's been a long morning, yeah. Also, from the director's Q&A, when they, you know, it looked a more expensive film than it actually was, because they were talking about how they didn't have any runners or anything. And in one of the shots, the young daughter character, Carly, has to drive her car off. And she was actually too young to drive at this point. So the two directors had to actually push the car. And it was going fairly fast. So fair play to them. They're really sweating blood for their art. And I respect that. And it was all up on the screen. Like, it looked a more expensive film than it was. There was a lot more to it than was possibly behind the camera. And I think that's a real, real accomplishment. And yeah, I think it had all the right sort of inspiration. You know, they talked about, like, there was a bit of Cronenbergian sort of body horror. There was a bit of like kind of Hellraiser sort of things going on. Predator was even in there. It was just a nice little smorgasbord of effective creepy stuff, and I really really enjoyed it. Yeah, I thought it was a cut above. So yeah, a triumph, a triumph for me.
Great. Well, I'm one out of three so far. That's my strike rate is depleted.
Doing terribly.
But good. Good to hear that The Stranger was one to check out. And finally then, you got to see Eating Miss Campbell, a horror comedy from director Liam Regan, another British film. The one-line synopsis from this, which doesn't give much to go on, but a vegan goth high school student falls in love with her new English teacher and develops a problematic taste for human flesh. So I think... I think that could,
tricky
could
one.
Really go either way, couldn't it? What have I said so far? I'm going to go... I think that might be veering on the trash.
Well, I'm not going to answer straight away, but I will say absolutely batshit. One of the most ludicrous things I've seen in a long time. And
I genuinely lost track of the amount of times that Bill and I turned to each other and was like, this is fucking insane.
Remember, we did watch very recently Everything Everywhere All at Once.
yeah, I know. And I still stand by what I say. One of the most ludicrous things I've seen in a long time. I spent a long time, and that synopsis, by the way, is like one tiny little piece of what's going on in that film. I spent a long time trying to wrap my head around it whilst watching it. And then in the end, I just sort of just gave up and gave into the madness. And at that point, I started loving it because it is crazy. But in the end, a triumph because it never stands still. The plot itself is just absolutely bonkers. Like I'll tell you this, Mike, a new head teacher is brought in to try and instigate a school shooting because that's the way to get the school on the map. That's the sort of thing you're dealing with.
Yeah.
And his entrance is he bludgeons the old head teacher to death with a golf club as he comes in.
He's wearing a Ronald Reagan mask.
He is. It's mad. That's and great. I really started loving it. It just, you know, the mum and dad bring her as she's grieving, sorry, mum and step dad and stepmum bring her lunchbox, going, oh, you've got a lunchbox, as she's grieving at her mother's grave, and the lunchbox is just a McDonald's Happy Meal, little stuff like that. It just blasts on, really funny, but also like, oh my god, I can't believe they're making these jokes. I mean, like, in the space of like 15 minutes, there's like Sandy Hook and 9/11 and Princess Diana, like all get like jokes made.
And Alec Baldwin.
Which, like, at that point, the audience actually went, ooh, which was just great. Like, oh man, the jokes were incredible. Like, they were so brave. And the gore was awesome. Like, you know, I will say that this was a day, that Saturday, I saw two separate penises get bitten off.
I can't believe we've not even talked about the penises getting
bitten off. Yeah, there's just a lot of penises getting bitten off.
Lots of dicks getting bitten off.
But yeah, the jokes, the gore, the grossness, the quick razor-sharp dialogue, the social commentary, the break in the fourth wall, it's just blasting you in the face. You feel like you're getting shot up yourself. It's crazy. I would say it's not for the easily offended or sensitive. I think it will be a very much a Marmite film. I think maybe it'll depend as well what sort of mood you're in, because by this point it was the last film on the schedule. We'd had a few beers, we were really relaxed. What was initially confusion and fear gave way to hilarity and just, you know, I'm just going to give up, I'm part of the asylum now. I didn't know beforehand this was a trauma film. And if you know anything about the production company Troma, who, you know, were the original trailblazers for just creating independent, crazy horror films and bringing them to the mainstream, that explains a lot. And it is, and I can't give it any higher praise to say that it's a classic Troma film. And I think if you enjoy Troma films, you'll love this. And yeah, I really did. I thought, especially watching it with a friend, you know, watching it with friends, if you've got mates, have a watch and you'll really enjoy it. So it's a classic.
If you've got friends.
If you haven't, try and find some, watch this.
If you haven't, make some friends quick, don't watch it. But yeah, I firmly come down on the side of triumph. Also really well crafted, because it's not easy to do. There was a lot of madness and a lot of gore and a lot of action in there, and it's not easy to do. And also trying to shoot, and I think Sam will talk about this more, but trying to shoot and make out that you're in an American high school in England is difficult, and they pulled it off. And yeah, I'll let Sam talk a little bit more about that, I think.
So, I mean, quite a nice segue. I feel like I need to be up front and be like, I'm quite biased towards this movie because loads of it was filmed in Sheffield, which is where I'm living. And there was lots of moments where I turned to Bill and was like, I've been there. I walk past there when I'm on my way to work. That's this place here.
I had my penis.
So that was super
off
fun.
There.
That's where that cannibal bit my penis off. And also, again, full disclosure, we spoke to the director at the bar afterwards, and he was a real delight, really. Yeah. Obviously, again, very passionate guy who obviously loves the films that he's not, the films that he's homaging and the films that he, the trauma films he seems obviously enamored with. And he obviously, his enthusiasm comes across in the movie and even more so in real life. Like, he
and
just
you wouldn't
seems
have expected
to be
him
living
to be a
for
nice
this kind
guy.
Of stuff.
From watching that film, you wouldn't expect him to be a nice guy. You'd be like,
yeah,
the man is dangerous. But no, he was very pleasant. Very
yeah,
nice
you, you expected him to be standing in the corner just leering at everyone, being like, you're next. But delightful, really nice guy. But yeah, Bill is spot on the money. It's just mental in the best possible way. I feel like it's almost like, I kind of feel like it's the perfect horror film festival film to have in that end of the night slot. It's super fun, it's super gory, it's wild and it's insane. It's the perfect film to kind of just turn your thinking box off and just enjoy after you've had a couple of beers. It's yeah, it's really silly, it's really fun. The effects in it are incredible. There's a Wheatus song on the soundtrack, which is really good. It's just a lot of fun, and you can tell that a lot of kind of love and attention has gone into making this kind of quite shocking and offensive movie, which is an odd thing to say, but you can really sense the kind of enthusiasm and love for what they're doing in this thing that feels devoid of love and empathy. Everyone in it is really kind of committed to the roles they're playing. Everyone kind of sells the parts. There's a guy who plays the new head teacher, who's some American guy. I can't remember his name, Vito, I think. Vito Trigo, and he's just turned up to 11 every single time he's on screen. It's fantastic. Lindsay Crane, who plays the main Beth, the vegan goth, is great. She completely sells the part wholeheartedly. Lala Barlow, who is the eponymous Miss Campbell, is this great kind of twee, hey, I'm an all-American teacher and I'm just here to teach you a nice little lesson, da, 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 da. But then uses that to really great sinister, horrible effect at points. Her mum and step, her, oh, it's difficult. Her dad and stepmom, there we go. Dad and stepmom are really funny. They just keep in every scene, making out with each other really intensely in really awkward moments. That's just comedy gold. Yeah, it's, and also the guy that gets his penis bitten off is the guy that was in Human Centipede 2. So that's great if you like that kind of thing.
He's in danger of becoming typecast.
Michael, if I'm going to be honest, I think he has already been typecast. But yeah, it's like Bill said, it's totally not going to be for everyone. And I think if anything, there are going to be people that will watch this and be like, this is, I think the director, he mentioned in the Q&A that there was a lot of, he's going to use all of the negative reviews on the poster, because apparently there's been a lot of people that are like, basically getting their Mary Whitehouse on and ban these sadist, this sadist filth and so forth. And I completely get it, but the film wears its heart on its sleeve like that and is unashamed that it is trying to push buttons and is trying to kind of be shocking, appalling and offensive and succeed. So I think if you want to be shocked, appalled and offended. There we go. Sorry, it's been a long morning. then this, I feel like this is the film that if you like schlocky in your face horror, that's funny and gory and just the stuff you can watch having a couple of beers with, this is a real good shout. And when you watch it, come talk to me and I can be like, this thing's in Sheffield. I saw the film Predator in this cinema that they're in. That's where you can get a really good sandwich. So that's also a fun thing to enjoy as well. And the graveyard is one that I've walked through. So Sheffield. I hope the tourist board use it for their next Visit Sheffield ad campaign.
Well, there we go. So I got 1 out of 4, which is poor, isn't it? But there you go. Goes
you started strong. Yeah. You started really strong.
Well, anyway.
But I think like that the just as a kind of like final, like, because a lot of the filmmakers and actors that were involved in it were there. And Dead Northern, just as you mentioned, like all of them were British films. All of them are like local British films. And it's as a festival, it seems that they really support like people that it's their first movie or like their second movie who don't have big budgets, who wouldn't get shown at any other film festival. Like, sorry to sound like the fucking EDL or something, but it's really nice to see like British talent being represented. Yeah. And it's a great fucking film festival, and it just has got such a good, every horror film festival. We went to that one in Sheffield, and you guys have been to that one in Manchester. All horror film festivals have such a good vibe to them, which is odd seeing as the films that those people are making, and all the penises that get bitten off. But it's just like, it's Dead Northern. It's a cracking film festival, and I think we should all go back next year. And like we said, we'll do a séance. It'd be great.
Yeah, because you know, being a horror fan, it's quite a lonely hobby. So it's nice to get out of the house and go and see for like, oh, there's other damaged people like me out there. Wonderful.
Also, you'll be surprised to hear, but I got a lot of compliments on my Evil Dead 2 t-shirt I was wearing, surprisingly, I haven't been complimented on by members of the general public. Well, so
no,
it was nice.
Strange.
It's just nice to have people.
They're just like
weird. Those nerds at work don't like me wearing that t-shirt with Ash's bloody face on it.
But yeah, we'll also, like, in the coming weeks, we're going to talk about some of the shorts as our other films watched, because some of them do deserve to be talked about, because one of them, and no spoilers, but I jumped out of my seat and screamed quite loudly in quite a high-pitched fashion.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure you grabbed my arm as well.
It got me. So I'll talk about that on the next pod, because yes, I shat myself.
And a genuinely like good use of like the jump scare tactics, but we'll discuss that later. Yeah.
Excellent. Well, that sounds really good, and yeah, definitely well worth us trying to get to Dead Northern again next year. Thanks very much to Josh, Rick, Gareth, and the Dead Northern team for sorting us out and letting us review the festival. Yeah, we are going to be back with you with a full episode next, in a couple of weeks' time. We're going to be talking about the epic Indian action film RRR. So it's been generated a lot of buzz on social media, and so we're looking forward to checking out what all that hype is about. Thank you, Bill. Thank you, Sam. Speak to you then.
And thank you, Dead Northern. Genuinely, great festival, great people, good vibes, great times, and horror.
Yeah, cheers.
Thanks for listening to this week's episode of Creaky Chair Film Podcast. If you like what you heard, it'd mean the world to us if you told someone about the show.
Tell them about it even if you hated it.
Or even if you just felt really apathetic about it.
Yeah, there's no such thing as bad press.
If you can leave us a review on wherever you're listening, that'd be amazing.
And don't forget, we're on all of the social media things.
Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, MySpace, Bebo, MSN Messenger.
And that's @CreakyChairPod on Instagram and @CreakyChair on Twitter.
And if you search Creaky Chair Film Podcast on Facebook, you'll find us there too.
You can even email us at creakychairfilmpodcast@gmail.com if you want to send us your essay about how much we were well out of order with the ice road.